Will the King of Cross have his crown to play? The summer break is over and we are back racing.
This is the Cross Preview.
Hey everybody and welcome back to the British Touring Car Podcast. It's going really well so far. This is only the fourth attempt we've had for Sam to get his words out of his mouth.
So it's been a little while since we've done one of these, so I'm just getting back into the flow of things.
The summer break is finally over. We are well into Croft Race Week. We're back at my favourite circuit on the calendar. I don't know if it's yours.
And as a nice surprise, you're actually going.
I am actually going, but around you.
No.
With my other better half.
I'm the better half.
Third.
Yes, if you haven't seen during the mid-season break, we have put a couple of top five videos out, which will be out on YouTube at the moment. We will change those to audio versions towards the end of the season, and we should have a few more because there are a couple of breaks before we get to the final race at Brands GP.
Absolutely. There has been a little bit of news in the off-series, nothing that was worth bringing a podcast for. No. So unless you are a big fan of Liqui Moly, I mean, let's be honest, who isn't? We all love Liqui Moly. That is now a title partner of the Touring Car Series, which is good that it's still attracting.
And will partners. Be for the next 3 years as well, which it's good to have a long-term sponsor as well, because it gives that security, especially wanting to bring new cars into the championship, which was another announcement.
It was indeed. Yes, so we have finally got a little bit more detail around the Junior Championship that is replacing what was the Ginetta Ginetta Juniors, which of course have gone to the GT package. That junior element hasn't been replaced so far. We've had some guest competitions, and they've been great, some of them.
Some better than others.
Legends have been amazing.
Legends have been amazing, yes.
Everything else has been so-so.
And there was, of course, meant to be the junior package ready for this season that we're currently in.
Yep.
But that was pushed back a little bit for certain reasons along the way. But we have now had an announcement that there will be a launch for a new series specifically for the Toka package.
Yep, absolutely. So 13th of August, there'll be a VIP launch at the Mercure Daventry Court Hotel. The 15th of August, the team and driver registrations will open. On the 24th and 25th of August, there will be a public debut of the car at Donington Park. I'm not in the country.
I'm hoping to be there, though.
Yeah.
So I will try and do some sort of vlog for that day to try and get in the know kind of thing of what the cars are going to be like, what sort of engines we're running, whether they're going to be a streamlined single make, which it kind of sounds like from the announcement.
So it's going to be for 14 to 17 year olds, it's going to be 26 cars capped on the grid, and it's going to bear the Chevron name. That's about the only information I know. I have seen a Nick Houghton has posted on Facebook today to confirm they're also going to be rear wheel drived. And he says that they're not too dissimilar from the Ginettas previously, but we'll have to wait and see. It's going to be a tin top. I don't think we're going to be seeing an open top like a Radical or an F4. It's going to be a tin top style with presumably the longer term vision of having those drivers moving into Minis, Porsches, touring cars, etc.
In my mind, I have this vision of very similar to a Ginetta being sort of like a space frame chassis, even.
So that fits out fast.
Yeah, exactly. And then just kind of a shell put on top of it, which will make it nice and cheap to make. It which should make it nice and safe as well, which is crucial for these young drivers coming into the sport. And hopefully cheap to run. But we will see. There's always a cost to motorsport.
Absolutely. It is on a first-come, first-served basis, which is interesting in itself.
Yeah.
But we'll have to see what the take-up is like. I hope that we get all 26 spaces filled, because it's going to be really awkward if we don't. But looking at the smaller grids across motorsport, you know, as a holistic approach,
I think the only reason why it wouldn't be filled will be cost, as you say. If they can offer the right package in the right way, and if they have the right teams linked in with it, there are stalwarts of motorsport like Accelerate.
Yeah.
Like possibly even Napa as well. This would be a really good opportunity for them to go, we're going to run a team in this series and have them feed through the series, especially with all the different genres of cars that they work through.
It'd be interesting to see if TM Motorsport, including hard or not including hard, as the case may be, also look at this sort of thing. But I think you're right, Accelerate and Napa are two that you would really expect to get involved in this. You could potentially see Mark Blundell maybe running a team of car Laser two in tool. There. Yeah, obviously the Driver Academy he's got.
PMR
possibly. I wonder if Jason Plowton might get off his and put a team together. It's going to be really interesting to see what as you say, will it be swamped by, you know, these bigger teams getting ready to bring drivers through, or actually will we see what more the Ginettas used to be, which was just sort of these really small outfits, you know, Team Russell Racing and you know, that kind of stuff. It'd be really interesting to see how this works.
Yeah, I think there will be independent outfits there as well, especially if it is affordable, and hopefully it gives them that platform being shown on a wider stage as well for people to go, yeah, there's the talent, like we've seen Lando Norris come through and make it all the way up to F1 now.
Oscar Piastri as well, race winner this weekend.
Yep. But yeah. And they're also looking to put more touring cars on the grid for next season.
Yes, that is the other news.
Which is an interesting announcement that they're really pushing towards that, considering at the end of last season, Gao said he was quite happy with a 22-car field, maybe even 20-car field, which is obviously what we've got.
Yeah, that really is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is really interesting.
I'm wondering if it's down to the pennies.
Well, I think that has also been a complaint of most fans, that the grid just isn't big enough. You know, whether you want what you want or not, ultimately fans lead these sports. And if fans start to get bored, tickets stop selling, interest dwindles. And you've seen this in touring cars in the past. You think back to 2004 when it was only really Vauxhall on the grid. Mm. It wasn't a great time for the touring car series. We had to have a fairly big regulation change to try and redress that balance. We've seen it in F1 that Silverstone are alleging that they can't sell it out because of Red Bull's dominance, not the £4,000 ticket or well, whatever the prices are.
There's a reason that we go to touring car events and not F1 events.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, the thing is that these things are, football's the same, they're fan led, and if the fans lose interest, the sport dies. So I think this is probably in some reaction to the way fans have been speaking this season about having a too small a grid. And dare I say, perhaps not enough top-end talent on the grid. There's some very good drivers, but
There's also some very good drivers that aren't on the grid that we've spoken about many times before.
Absolutely.
We'll see how things progress. But that kind of gets you up to date on all the news that we've had in the off-season.
Absolutely. Let's go back on track, shall we?
You're going to Croft this weekend. I will be watching on TV, and you'll be catching up on Monday, hopefully.
Absolutely.
It was an interesting one last year.
Because
this is said to be a BMW stronghold, isn't it? And that's not quite the case, was it?
Wasn't last year, no. So just some facts on Croft before we go into last year's bits and pieces. 16 corners. The reason I love this circuit so much is because it's got everything. It's got hard, fast corners. It's got really technical parts.
Yep.
For me, this is if you were to sit down and design a circuit, this is what you design. That's my opinion. I know it's not as high on your list of tracks in the UK, but it's certainly my favourite. Yeah. And it's really good to go and watch.
I really enjoyed going up there to watch as well. It was a really good weekend for that. And the kind of layout of the circuit and how it's all enclosed, you can get from one side to the other pretty easily, although there is a big outer section where you can't view, unfortunately.
And I will get to see the new building, because when we were there, they were building down the pits, which would be interesting. 2.13 miles, some of the longer tracks we go to. Debuted in 1968. Sam, qualifying lap record.
Is it a Ford?
No.
Oh, okay. BMW then?
Yes.
Turkington?
Correct.
E.
1 minute 21.4 in 2022. Race lap record.
Is it a BMW again?
It is.
It is. Hill?
No.
Turkington again?
Correct. 1 minute 21.7. So only 3 tenths off the qualifying record.
There's a reason he's known as the King of Croft. He has been hellishly successful here before. But is that crown coming to an end?
Well, do you know what was really interesting about that? Is that his race lap record is actually quicker in terms of mile per hour for the whole circuit in 2020 than his qualifying 2022 was. So for 2022 qualifying, 92.8.
Yep.
For his race lap record in 2020, 93.5. So that's a mile an hour, just under a mile an hour difference.
Maths was never your strong point, was it?
No. I've always had to do something today, and it's damn near killed me. So, yeah.
Trying to get 6 people in the 5-person car.
That wasn't me. I said 4 people. There you go. Yeah, so that is, as you say, it is a BMW circuit traditionally. It wasn't last year, though. As you say, it was really the Napa Fords last year.
It was.
Race 1, Camish, Sutton, Rowbottom. Race 2, Sutton, Camish, Rowbottom. And then race 3, Turkington, Ingram and Cook sort of decided to get themselves involved in the party. Yeah. Can happen with a reverse grid, of course.
Yeah.
And Sutton had a retirement in that race as well, in race number 3.
That's not what you've got written down.
No, I haven't. He's got 12 that written down there.
I'm just putting that out there. So, yeah, if we look towards the current title challengers, obviously Hill is leading the championship going into this round, which is the first time that we've seen this season. Do I need to check the rest of the results?
No, okay, he's retiring. I just can't write numbers.
So Hill had a 5th, 11th and a 7th, which for him wasn't particularly great last year.
No, but I think, as you said last year, for whatever reason, it just didn't suit the BMWs. And it wasn't wet. It was quite a nice, pleasant day at Croft last year. It's strange. We've seen the traditional... We've almost seen a switch, haven't we, where the front-wheel drive tracks have become rear-wheel drive and vice versa. I mean, Knock Hill used to be traditionally a rear-wheel drive track. Yeah. Whilst Hill was still strong there last year, Sutton was stronger.
I think it's a testament to how Napa have changed and adapted that Ford Focus to make it such a well-built chassis and handling car, almost like what we used to see from the Integras. They were beasts of cars, and they just seemed to go everywhere well. Especially last season, not so much this year.
About to say this year, not so much. No. And that's the crucial part, is that they have been caught up, shall we say, in the development race this season, or they've dropped down, whatever way you want to look at it. But yeah, for Sutton, a second, a first, and a retirement last year. For Camish, who is now in the title fight, you'd have to argue.
I think so.
A first, a second, and a fourth. For Hill, as you've already covered, Ingram had a 6th, a 4th and a 2nd, so the sort of consistent weekend that Ingram looks
typical
for.
Typical Ingram weekend.
I'm including Colin in here. Even though I don't really think he's in the title fight anymore, but he is traditionally the King of Croft. He's got the most wins here out of any other driver. He had a 7th, a 6th and a 1st last year, which was, to be honest, what Colin is now, which is consistent race 1 and 2, and maybe try and benefit race 3 a little bit.
Yep. I don't think we're going to see that from him again this weekend, however. I just think he might have lost that little bit of an edge, and the fact that Camish has now come past him in the title race. He seems to be dropping off a bit. He had that high at Brands, don't take me wrong. He did really well there, took 2 race wins without really being challenged. But I've not seen that sort of performance from him since then.
It's not been built on, no.
No.
How do you feel Hill will be? Because going into the summer break, he was very much the man to catch. The man in the purple form could really do no wrong. Best driver on the grid at that moment in the form table. He's now had this summer off. Obviously, he's kept himself busy. He's done some stuff, I think, at Goodwood and some other bits and pieces.
Super tours and stuff.
Yeah, but for all that time, he'll know that he's leading the touring cars. He's got to get back into that mode. How easy do you think it's going to be to switch back onto that and also deal with the pressure of being the hunted rather than the hunter?
I'm not sure. Getting into his mindset, which could be a scary place to go to, I don't think he will be vastly affected by it.
No, nor do I.
I just think he's got that kind of mentality, and especially having Mark Blandell there mentoring him. This is a guy that's been racing in F1 before. He knows...
Blundell is not Hill.
Yes. He knows...
Well, Graham Hill.
And Damon. He knows the trials and tribulations of what it's to be under pressure. And I think he's able to pass on that experience to him quite well. And I just think Hill is really good at blocking everyone else out and just going hell for leather and doing it by himself. Because, dare I say, he hasn't got that teammate to help him. I know he's part of the WSR outfit, but there's almost a guarantee that he doesn't get treated anywhere near the same as Morgan and Turkington does.
I think it's going to be really interesting because now Sutton will have the shackles off in some way that he, for the first time,
in a long time,
is the hunter.
Yeah.
And I always get the feeling, Rash, that he prefers to be the hunter than the hunted.
Oh, yeah.
And,
will that lead to more mistakes from him?
Well, that is always possible. That is always possible. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've seen in F1 that Max is under a lot more pressure this year and is making some questionable moves and some errors. We'll leave it there as not to upset the...
As are the team as well.
Yeah. We'll leave it there as not to upset the Max fans. But it's not as smooth as it has been. I think you can. There's a parallel here with Ash as well. I don't know. I just kind of feel that he will much prefer to be the hunter. But I think you are right that can lead to mistakes. But then, as I say, how much more pressure is Hill going to feel when he's got Sutton in his mirrors and now he's leading the championship rather than... I don't know. I don't think it makes that much of a difference, but it's the little things, isn't it?
No, knowing how...
And Hill's not been there before.
Knowing how Hill and Sutton have approached the touring cars in the last 3-4 seasons, I don't think they'll be worried at this stage.
No, not this.
They know that
not,
it's a long championship battle. We're only just getting into the second half, and They will be more concentrating on banking the points that they can at the moment, keeping just a little bit of an eye on where the other drivers are, be that Ingram, Camish, Hill or Sutton, possibly Turkington if he gets his act together. But as long as you can keep them in sight, you can then make those more risky moves towards the end of the season at Silverstone, at Brands, where you need to take the bull by the horns.
You mentioned about teammates, and it's interesting because technically Sutton has got a teammate running at the front.
Yeah.
But I don't get the feeling he's running Sutton's championship for, is his running partner in that way.
No, not as such.
Feel like he's very much out for, which you can understand, but feel like he's out for himself and looking to try and get himself fully into this championship race.
I certainly don't think we'll see the similar sort of camaraderie that we saw last season at Croft.
No.
In the fact of Robottom missing a gear and giving him that extra momentum, shall we say, and then the fact that they swapped those positions in race two.
Yeah.
Okay, Sutton might have been in on the better strategy for that one. I see less of that happening the further we get into a season.
Yeah, no, I agree, particularly as Camish is still in the championship fight at this juncture where he wasn't before. Yeah, we'll have to see how that one goes. Obviously, qualifying on Saturday, Hill will have, for the first time this season, the least amount of hybrid that he's had in qualifying.
Yep.
Sutton have a little bit more than he's used to. It's potentially going to be wet for quali on Saturday. Potentially, which means it's going to be bone dry, but potentially going to be wet on Saturday. That could be quite interesting.
It could, yeah. We've seen some, I'm going to use the word, and I think it just about describes it. We've seen a horrific crash at Croft in the wet.
Is right, yes.
In qualifying before, so I hope nothing like that happens. But wet qualifying certainly make it a lot more interesting. And it just needs that little bit of edge. And for one driver, possibly even not to get into Q2, which there is always the risk of, being so far back down the grid, you're always then fighting back over the weekend.
Yeah, it's difficult track to overtake on. It is narrow. There is overtaking points, but there's also, it's very easy to get yourself stuck in a bit of a train here at Croft. So I think you're right. The better you qualify, surprisingly, the more chance you have of picking up good points.
I think this is a track where you can normally quite easily defend at, as well, especially into that final complex. You just have to put the car in the right kind of places and make sure that the car behind you doesn't get any momentum, and you normally can keep them behind.
We've done quite a lot about the front runners. Let's have a look at some of the other teams on the grid. Obviously, Toyota have had at times really good seasons, at times not so good season. How would you expect them to come out this weekend? Cook, of course, got a podium here last year. It's not traditionally a track that the Toyota or indeed any of their drivers go astoundingly at. However, Cook has taken a win here before.
I was going through my mind and thinking about what predictions I'd be making going ahead into this weekend, and not once did Toyota cross my mind.
No, not mine.
Not for any win, any pole or anything like that. And it just, I feel like that's where Toyota is at the moment. They're that middle team. That,
1, 2, 3, 4 coming.
Could you imagine it? So, yeah, they haven't really entered my thought process in doing well this weekend. I just think it'll be another consistent points haul for the drivers and kind of move on to the next one. I think PMR are more likely to have a good weekend than Toyota.
Is that because we keep writing them off and then they do well and you're just trying to redress the balance? Or
no, I truly believe that PMR will go well here. I have a sneaky suspicion they did last year, and I don't know, they always kind of like to upset the odds, don't they?
They do at the moment, absolutely. Nick Halstead is back up to racing fitness, according to his Facebook post. Obviously, he's had a bit of a difficult first half to the season, shall we say. I think that the judgment on Nick Halstead really will depend on the second half of the season. Another driver I think needs to do really well this weekend is Sam Osborne, who I've been, it wasn't until we did the driver grades, which if you haven't checked out for the halfway point in the season, how disappointing he'd been. I don't want to just go over the driver grades up here again and just kick him again, but yeah, it's been a disappointing first half of the season.
It's quite a major underperformance from, especially if you compare it to where the rest of the team are.
Absolutely.
As well.
And then added to that, we're now going to tracks where this car's gone really well consistently at. So Croft, obviously last year they dominated. Knockhill, they're pretty good at. Silverstone, they're pretty good at. So you kind of feel that he needs to grab the second half of the season and really make some inroads in that Jack Sears. To me, it's nonsense that he's not leading the Jack Sears.
I know.
That is madness. And he's not close to leading the Jack Sears either. That's the thing. A couple of points at the top, you go, that can happen. But he's a fair distance off.
Dobble, and a credit to him, has been on absolute good form for most of this season and has taken those wins where necessary and has just been so consistent with it as well. I actually got a screenshot from my mum the other day. Him and his brother were having a nice warm-up racing weekend at Snetterton last time out.
Nice.
So both doubles on the sheet there. I think, I can't remember what they were racing. I think they were in BMWs in like a compact cup sort of thing.
That's where he came through, isn't it? So
it's just getting your eye back in ready for the second half of the season.
Right, should we get on to some predictions then? I'm going to go for all of the top four to score a podium. Not in the same race, because I know that that can't happen mathematically. But I think that all of the current top four, so just for...
Across the weekend.
Yeah, across the weekend. And just for clarity. Sutton, Turkington, Camish, Hill. We'll get a podium.
You've put Turkington in there.
Have I?
Not Ingram.
Ingram, not Turkington.
Right,
Sutton,
okay.
Ingram. Sutton, Ingram, Camish, Hill.
Thank you. Sorry. I just want to make sure that that's those four.
It turns out lists is my point. It's not the numbers, it's lists. So across the weekend, they will all get a podium.
So I'm going to link into that, and I'm going to have one of those top four, mm-hmm. Sutton, Hill, Ingram, Camish, not to make it into the Super 6 shootout for qualifying on Saturday. And I think it's more likely, especially if we get rain.
See, I think it's less likely if we get rain.
Do you?
Because I think the hybrid doesn't matter so much, and I think the cream rises to the top in wet conditions.
Okay.
But equally, BMW and the rain don't go well.
We'll see.
But on the flip side, Hill and the BMW and the rain does go well.
I know.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go for Osborne. I think he's going to come back well this weekend.
Oh, here we go.
To outscore the Cooper's combined.
Cooper's combined?
Yeah.
What? See, when I read that earlier, I thought, no, he's going to be one of them, isn't he?
No, because
you're meaning all three.
That'd be too easy to say he'll outscore DeLion. You know?
That's fine.
Okay. I think he'll outscore Smiley and DeLion. Now, I'll change it slightly. I will leave.
Combined.
Yeah, I'll leave something out.
That's fine.
So there's two. I've arguably picked the two better Cooper drivers as well.
Yes, no, I agree. Their form has certainly been better this season than Sumpton's.
Osborne will outscore Smiley and DeLion combined.
Okay, I have BMW to outscore Hyundai this weekend. So that's the three BMW drivers that we got in Turkington, Morgan and Hill against the four Hyundai drivers of Ingram, Chilton, Pearson and Housted.
Okie dokie. I'm going to go for Chilton to outscore Morgan. I think Chilton's having a pretty decent season. He's had some rotten luck in the last two rounds. If the car can stay not on fire...
Will we see him in Super 6 shootout again, do you reckon?
His qualifying has been really good, possibly. Again, the big question is, can the car stay not on fire? that's the key. Yeah, assuming that, I think he'll outscore Morgan this weekend.
Yeah, and then my final one is PMR to have a double top 10 finish. So in any of the three races, both Aaron Taylor-Smith and double to be in the top 10 over the line.
That's a bold call. Right, we're also going to do a chicane cut this weekend as our general predictions. We like to do general every now and again. So would you like to explain the parameters of this, please?
Yes, so there are a couple of chicanes at Croft, but this is going to be one specific chicane, and it's the second one. Not where the gravel trap is, but where the, what's it called?
Chicane.
At chicane. So there's normally a tyre bundle on the inside, a tyre bundle on the inside of that part, but there is a tarmac runoff on the inside of one of them that I've seen so many people use, and I just have a feeling... We could have quite a few uses of it this weekend.
Now, are we, for clarity purposes, are we saying that they have to drive, so get off it, or are they just, so they get contacted and they end up stopping on the chicane because they can't get the car started again? Does that count?
No, it's a full cut, straight line it kind of thing, have to get out of it. Or.
And you're going for how many?
I'm going for 11.
That is utterly...
Which is less than four cars per race. That's how I work it out in my mind. Are there going to be three cars per race? No, I think they're going to be more. We have a lot of action at the start of races, and this is what we're going to be able to catch on camera on the TV coverage, correct?
Well, assuming there's replays, that could really screw you over.
That is true.
For part of that reason, I'll go for four, because I don't think...
Four?
Yeah, I don't think there'll be 11, and replays don't exist this season.
And just to clarify, if you bang on, you get 3 points.
Yes.
And if you're closest, you get 1 point.
Yeah, and the way we've done it means that it can't be split, I don't think. So...
No.
Quick maths. Cool, okie dokie. Right, into general into actual race predictions, I'm going for the pole sitter to be Daniel Rowbottom. The car was really good last year.
Yeah.
He had more hybrid than his competitors. He's had a so-so season so far, more disappointing than last season, unfortunately. However, summer break, reset.
Rejuvenated.
From memory, last year, he had quite a big reset. They went to the Nürburgring, and Croft was again the one after summer break, from memory. So. Did quite well. So I'm going for Rowbottom to take pole.
Okay, well, I'm going for his teammate, Dan Kamish. I just think he's on this nice run of form at the moment, and we saw how well he went here last year, and I just think this is a track that kind of suits his driving style.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fine. For winners, I've gone for Turkington, Hill and Sutton, so I've played it absolutely safe. Turkington to get his token Croft win. Hill and Sutton will be at the top. That's fine. But you've gone a bit...
Mine are slightly more risky then. So I've gone for Kamish. Hopefully, if he takes pole, he'll go off and take that win. Sutton as well. Although Sutton seems to be winning more race threes at the moment.
Yeah, he does,
And my other driver is Morgan.
We're not really spoke about him in this,
His qualifying form recently has been really good.
And race form's been terrible, though.
I was going to say, as we said in the driver review midway through the season, his race finishes just haven't been quite there, and I just want a little bit more from him, and hopefully he'll grab a win this weekend.
And if he doesn't, you'll disown him forever,
Yes.
For Jack Sears...
He'll be the new jelly.
Well, there you go. There's an offer you can't refuse. For Jack Sears, I've gone double. I've not backed him all season. He's won every bloody round, so this is the round he doesn't win. Mikey, I'm sorry, but I've got, for statistic-wise, I've got to go for it.
Which is the exact reason why I haven't. So yeah. I've gone for Pearson this weekend. I don't think Osborne's going to do much, and I think Pearson is the only other driver in there that's going to have that real punch to go and take that Jack Sears win.
Well, as it stands, I do lead the predictions. So you
do,
can do
just
get,
about.
Just about. So you do have getting a few back on me there.
Certainly can.
And we'll bring you an update on the predictions in the review.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy your weekend update.
So do I.
I know how much you enjoy going up and seeing the touring cars. So take plenty of pictures. And I'll be looking forward to hearing what you've seen that we've missed on the cameras.
Yes.
Because I'm pretty sure there will be something.
If anybody is going wants a sticker, they are still available. Put it to the camera there. Camera. There you go. You can't turn down quality like that.
For free as well. Just to clarify.
Although if you say something nasty, you probably won't get one. But yeah.
But yeah, if you see Russ there, do say hello to him and wish him a good weekend.
And the person next to me isn't Sam. It will be my other half, as I say. Don't be surprised. Didn't think, blimey, Sam looks different in real life than he does on the YouTube.
It's amazing what you can do with AI nowadays.
Well, it is, yeah, absolutely. But it won't be Sam. Don't be alarmed. It's yeah.
Yeah, we will have a review for you early next week. And, hope you have a good weekend and some good racing.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
To forecast that a loud lorry came past or
siren. Yes. Can I make a suggestion?
You can try.
Your book on there.
You're suggesting I can read far off.
Well, I can read that.
Yeah, actually, I can, to be fair.
The only thing that we haven't got, which I assume you're going to pull up on your phone, is track map.
Yes.
That's fine. I was just making sure.
Well, there go the stickers.
Oh, dear.
I was trying to...